Welcome to High Ticket Woman, the podcast for Christian women who are relationship challenged, and they know that to make changes, it starts with them wanting more, expecting more, and becoming more. Here's your host, Debbie Cottle. Debbie Cottle here. Welcome back to another episode of High Ticket Woman. Today, I have an amazing woman with me, Stephanie Ann. She is both an attorney and a recipient of the Governor's Award for Advocacy with Survivors of Domestic Violence. She herself has triumphed over narcissistic abusive relationships in her own two personal marriages that she's going to be talking about today. And as a result, she has harnessed the transformative power of a technique that I'm super excited to learn more about. I know just a little bit about it, and it's called Emotional Freedom Technique, otherwise sometimes known as tapping. And she uses EFT to guide others onto their path to healing and personal growth. So I'm super excited to have you here today, Stephanie Ann.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Debbie. It is a real honor to be on your show today.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's jump in and let's just talk about, I like to ask everybody as a sort of introductory question, what does the concept of high ticket mean to you? You know, so I know what I meant when I started my podcast, but I'm always curious to know, like, what my guest speakers, what comes to mind when you think of high ticket?
So when I think of high ticket or high quality, I think of a woman who is healed, healthy, and whole. Who knows who she is and knows what she wants.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, and you know, when we think of high tickets, sometimes in a business setting, we think of something that is expensive, but also has really high value, so it's worth the investment. And one of the key messages that I want to get across to women is that when we hold ourselves to the highest standard, you know, of what our worth truly is, then what we expect people, and especially men, to invest is the highest price, the full commitment. You've had a really unique background, and I would love for you to speak to our women listeners about what you've been through with your two previous marriages and what you learned about holding yourself to that highest standard.
Yeah, so, you know, I found myself lying on the cold tile floor just crying, my God, why is all this stuff happening to me? Yeah. I don't deserve this. I'm a good person. I'm a good mom. I did everything right. If you look at by society standards of what is right, I came from a very good family, a very healthy family. I had healthy relationships modeled for me. I went to college. I traveled around the world. I went to law school. Three beautiful children. So, you know, it's like I did everything right, yet all of this stuff kept happening to me. Why was I, did I keep getting in these toxic relationships? Why were all of these disastrous things happening in my life that I had no control over? And, you know, I had to go back and just look at this, like, you know, our 17 years within these two marriages, multiple life disasters, and even losing my eyesight to prompt a profound shift and change in my life. And that was when I was at my sister's house, you know, just feeling like I'm sitting in the rubble of my life. I had lost my eyesight. And
this was temporary.
Yeah.
You obviously can see now.
Wow. I can see now. And so I felt in that moment, God was saying to me, you know, we all resonate with a higher power. Yes. For me, yes. It's God, universe, spirit, source. Yes. And in that moment, I felt like God was saying, Stephanie, you're not seeing your life through the right lens. You have been stuck in this victim story for so long.
Exactly.
And when we're in the victim story, we can't see the lessons. We don't know what to heal. We don't know what to release. And so, you know, for me, it took all of this losing my eyesight to prompt that shift. And so many people would say, Stephanie, what are the lessons? Well, there are no lessons here. So I didn't do anything wrong.
Interesting.
And so when I was able to make that shift, instead of being the victim in the background of my story of my life, I decided to be the hero, the star of my story. And when I was able to do that, then yes, then I could go back and look at my two ex-husbands and say, instead of them monsters trying to destroy my life, what if I were to look at them as teachers bringing these lessons? They brought very hard, painful lessons, nuggets of wisdom. And then I could see where I needed more compassion. I could see where I needed forgiveness. I could see what needed to be healed, what needed to be released and let go, and to become empowered. And that's where our power is, when we are the star of our story.
So this was obviously a journey for you. I mean, you
Yes.
didn't come out of these two marriages and jump immediately into this being the star of your own show. So what was that process that you went through to get back your sense of value as a woman?
So for me, it was all the healing, you know, doing the deep inner work. And as you mentioned, EFT, so it's emotional freedom techniques. It's a tapping modality where we tap on the meridian points of the body. It's like acupuncture, tapping acupuncture. And so what EFT teaches you is how to sit and feel all the emotions, everything that is coming up. And you tap on it, you acknowledge it, you sit with it, and then you release it. And then I do, most tapping doesn't do a third round, but I do tapping into the person that we are becoming. And so becoming an empowered woman, becoming confident, self-confident, successful, high quality, high ticket, you know, we tap in these. And you know, when we've been in toxic relationships for so long, it can rewire our brain in a negative way. And so what makes being in these specific relationships so much harder to heal from is time does not heal these relationships because of the rewiring of the brain. So we actually have to rewire the brain. And so that is what tapping enables us to do, like a rapid rewire of the brain through the repetition.
So you said something really key there, because I see this a lot when I work with clients. So going back to what you said about sitting with emotion and letting yourself feel it. One of the things that I see so much of the time when I work with women and men too, for that matter, is that we don't like to sit in our emotions. We do everything possible to run away from those emotions. We have perfected the art of avoiding what we're really feeling. So how do we go from, I don't want to feel pain, I don't want to feel the shame, I don't want to feel the guilt, I don't want to feel the sadness or depression or the anxiety, to being comfortable in our emotions and embracing them and accepting them so that we can release them?
Well, it's honestly, it's a choice, and you have to make that choice. Nobody can make it for you. It's just like those of us who have been in these toxic relationships with narcissists. We want to change them. We keep thinking, oh, if I love them more, if I do this, they'll change. But they won't, because change is a choice.
Another
And you
choice,
need awareness. And so for us to heal and to fully heal, it is a choice, and you have to make that choice to do the deep work. And this is like, I can give clients a roadmap to success, to healing, to empowerment. But if they're not going to do it, and the sad reality is, so many of us don't do it, whether it's just in our paradigm or we just don't think we can. But until we make that choice and become aware and do the hard work, we will continue to repeat the same patterns over and over and over again. And this is why you see people and they're like, why do I keep being in these toxic relationships? Well, because you're not doing the hard work in healing. It's so much easier to just move on to the next relationship.
Yeah, and to not understand why the pattern keeps reoccurring. You talked about our brain getting rewired from the toxicity of relationships. Can you speak to that a little bit more? I mean, I definitely agree with you, but I would love for you to speak out of your own experience with some of the rewiring that you had to undo yourself.
Yeah. So for me, one of the, so when you are in these toxic environments, so often the abuser, whether it's emotional, psychological, you know, physical violence, whatever it is, over time and through repetition of devaluation, feelings of unworthiness, not being enough, not being good enough, why are you cheating, what's wrong with me? You know, it wires our brain in that way. And so we can be stuck in the negativity and the criticism. We could have negative self-talk. For me, some of the things was worthiness. You know, I had my first husband cheated on me for 14 years. And that makes you feel like unlovable, that maybe there's something wrong with you. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not, aging enough. Yeah.
I'd be enough and you wouldn't keep going out and doing this.
Yeah. And so, so for something like that, I would, we have to, so our brain is wired a certain way. So think of your brain is like a computer.
Yep.
So you have your brain, but you have your mind. So they're two different things. Huh? Your brain is just doing whatever your mind tells it to do.
Right.
And then your mind is where like the negative self-talk is, where the feelings of unworthiness, or where the traumas are, like anxiety, the anger, you know, all these big heavy emotions are in our mind. And then over time, it gets rewired into our brain. So for instance, let's do anxiety. In the beginning, anxiety is your body's response telling you that there is something wrong.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so anxiety comes up. But now you are safe. But your brain is still wired for anxiety. No, you're not safe. And so with tapping, we need to acknowledge that the anxiety was there. We need to acknowledge that the anxiety served a purpose when we needed it, but now we are safe. And so we no longer need the anxiety to come up and tell us that there's stuff going on. And so this is what I talk about.
You be released. So as you're really, you're retraining the brain to handle, really you're talking about triggers that bring up that automatic response. That the brain goes to. We could use the technical terms, that's essentially what you're saying is we're training the brain to go, oh, I don't need to automatically respond in this way. When I feel like I'm in a similar type of situation.
Or react. You don't need to react, and we can sit with these, and it's when things come up through EFT, you know to tap, acknowledge it. Okay, anxiety, I see you. You're coming up. You're getting anxious, but I don't need you anymore. And so, you know, a lot of these traumas are held in our body. And so we have to release them all from our body. And it can take layers, and it's hard work. I mean, it's not hard work, but it means that you have to sit down and go within.
But it's worthwhile.
It is so worthwhile.
Well, and I think it speaks to like when a woman truly believes that she has value, then she invests in doing the work in herself, even though it may be challenging, even though it might push her in ways that are uncomfortable. But when a woman doesn't value herself, what I see often is that she just keeps repeating the same kinds of behaviors over and over again. So you had to believe internally and fundamentally, and I think that probably speaks to your childhood and the way you were raised, that there was this core set of values within you that didn't get, maybe they got muted through those two marriages, but they were always there. And you had to believe fundamentally that you have that worth and that value in order to do the right work
Absolutely.
and to stay with it. Yeah. What would you say to
Absolutely.
women who weren't raised the way you were, who were raised in really toxic homes growing up, and they've never really had anybody tell them that they have value? Because I see that a lot as well.
Yeah, you know, they say that we seek out what is familiar and what is comfortable.
So
And
true, yeah.
so if you grew up in a toxic family, a chaotic, confusing family, then that might be what is normal for you.
Yeah.
And the healing and the healthy relationship is abnormal.
Yes.
And so again, it's in your brain. So you need to do the hard work of healing and rewire your brain. Get all those layers of trauma out of you and reprogram you that no, actually being in a healthy relationship, in a calm, non-chaotic, non-traumatic, non-dramatic situation is so much healthier.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it's the work. You have to acknowledge that you have a problem or acknowledge that you need the healing. And then I always tell people as well, you know, especially when we're doing tapping into the woman that you want to become, well, I don't think I'm a strong, powerful woman. Okay, well, you might not think that right now, but let's say you are becoming. And what would that look like? And even if you don't believe it, you just still speak it in your mind because it's the repetition over and over and over again, which that's one of the reasons why I love EFT, is the repetition. It will eventually go into your brain and you will
Yeah.
eventually
And
get there.
becoming a strong, powerful woman. Yeah. Reprogramming is such a fundamental concept, I think, because, you know, I went through a divorce too, and I'm remarried. And, you know, because of my years, you know, as a therapist, as a coach, I mean, I've been doing this for so long that I immediately, when I went through my separation and then, of course, through my divorce, I did all the things that I knew to do that I had been teaching clients for so long. It was a very automatic process for me. But it wasn't until I was remarried that I could fully understand what had been wrong in my first marriage and why. I knew that I was going to get to that point because of my teaching and my training and my experience with clients. But it was the actual, you know, getting married a second time and seeing how very different that second marriage has been for me, that, you know, I guess you could say made me a true believer of, like, hey, this stuff really does work. And I think it's so important for women who have never had that sense of value to know that even if you don't believe right now, sometimes doing the hard work to reprogram your brain is what
Yes.
opens you up to the possibility of then having the very thing that you didn't think you were ever going to have or didn't even know could exist.
Oh yeah. And that is again with our mind. You know,
Yeah.
we attract our thoughts attract. We attract what we're thinking. I guess I should say that.
Yeah, the
You
power
know?
of positive thinking, right?
Yeah.
For
And
sure.
but
Or
it
negative
is
thinking.
true. It is true. And you can see, like, I see so many men and women, and they're so fearful. I'm so fearful to get in a new relationship. It's going to be with a toxic person or a true
Yeah, I'm afraid of
narcissist,
being hurt
instead
again. I don't want to
afraid
be
of being
hurt.
hurt. Yeah. And so, but, and this is their self-talk. Why can't I meet someone? I went on a date last night and it was all this. Well, it's like, change your thoughts. Change your thoughts to abundance, to healthy relationships, to healthy
Well, and
partners.
one of the things I say to women is, what's wrong with being hurt? Because even I think we even need to sort of reprogram our thoughts about being hurt. Now, I'm not talking about being physically hurt. I'm not talking about abuse or toxicity, but just the idea that love is only, that I can only be in a loving relationship as long as I'm never disappointed, or I never feel let down, or nothing bad ever happens. Well, that's not reality. So I think that we have to also reprogram ourselves to the belief that, people are flawed, they're not perfect. And when you open yourself up to abundance, when you open yourself up to love, you are, in some ways, you are stepping into strength, if you look at it that way, because you are recognizing that in that vulnerability, you are opening yourself up to lots of possibilities, and it's going to be okay. You can get through whatever you're going to get through. You already have.
No, I completely agree, because it's like, where do we find our strength and we find our opportunities within the pain and the struggle? So, I always say, I have kids, and we have an animal. An animal is one of the best teaching, I don't want to say tools. An animal's not a tool, but it's like we're teaching them to love, to care for something. And we know that the animal's only going to live for a certain amount of time. But wouldn't we rather, this stuff I tell my kids, wouldn't we rather have loved and had the relationship, the beautiful relationship with our dog, and then when she died, we know that she lived a full life. And yes, it hurts. Yes, it's painful. But that is part of growth.
It's part of that.
I totally get what you're saying, because we need to, that's where we grow, and we can't be afraid to take those risks, because it's part of the human experience.
I often use the metaphor of a rubber band. A rubber band is completely useless in its inert state. It's only when it's stretched that it serves its purpose. So, when we are stretched out of what feels comfortable and safe for us, I think that's when we fully realize what God actually created us to be able to do and be, and to realize our fullest potential. Well, I'd love to ask you, when it comes to, I don't know if you're remarried. That's not something that you and I've actually talked about. Okay. So when it comes to men, because of so many of my listeners here are here because they're struggling in their relationships with a man. When it comes to men, in what ways do you see most women struggling to hold on to their value? I know you have both a lot of personal and professional experience in this.
I would say what I've seen and what I've experienced is trying to change them. Yes, his behavior's really bad. He's not treating me very well, but he came from a broken family. We justify
Making
behavior.
excuses,
We make excuses for their behavior. And I did this with my second husband for years, making excuses for his behavior. Oh, he's just having a bad day, or he's just doing this, and thinking that we can love them more, pour into them more, and that they are going to change their behavior. I find that a really big one because we can't change anyone. And we also can't fall in love with someone's potential. I fell in love with my second husband's potential. He had great potential. But you know what? After 4 years of being together, we were still in the same spot. We weren't going anywhere. And so you cannot fall in love with a person's potential and you cannot love them enough to change. Love yourself more.
I feel like a okay, old metaphor here, but I feel like a total broken record in saying this to women. And it's kind of like their eyes sort of glaze over when I say these things to them. Like, you can't, ch nobody changes. There are two reasons that people change: inspiration and desperation. That's it. You can never make them change, right? So, and marrying a man for his potential is such a common thing. I mean, how many times do I hear women saying he has so much potential? But another thing too that I'd love for you to speak to is the thing is everybody has this mixture of good and not great in them, right? So if a woman was with a guy who was like all the time, 100%, treated her poorly, ran her down, never had a good thing to say about her, physically abusive, controlling, all the adjectives that we could use, it might be easier to leave him early on. But the problem is that also comes mixed with sometimes he says all the right things. Sometimes he says he loves her. He apologizes a lot. He says he'll try harder. He'll bring her home flowers. He'll do things that make her think he's going to change.
So, in a toxic marriage, especially with a disordered personality like narcissism, you have a cycle. It's very similar to the domestic violence cycle. So it's a cycle. The first stage is the idealization, then there's devaluation, then love bombing, devaluation, then love bombing, then devaluation. And at one point, you're going to be fed up and you're going to leave, or you are going to get discarded. And so this is the hamster wheel of a cycle. And so, like you said, if someone just jumped into the relationship and they were always controlling, always mean, always this, we would never stay.
We would never stay.
We
We would
would
run.
leave
We'd
right
run as
then.
fast as we could
We
in the
would
other direction.
run. But that's not how it starts out. It starts out in this idealization phase. So this is where the person is just so grateful for you. You are the angel sent from heaven to them. There you are. They put you so high up on this pedestal and they worship you. You are so beautiful. I love that you're a strong, independent woman. I love that you are successful. I love that you're a lawyer. This stuff that my ex would tell me. I love your profession. I love lawyers. That is so awesome that you're a lawyer. I love all your girlfriends. They're strong, independent, beautiful women. All these things. And you feel like you have found your soulmate. How this person is everything I ever wanted. It is because they are mirroring you. You're essentially falling in love with yourself. And so then you have the devaluation stage. So once they have you hooked, once you have opened up to them, once you've been vulnerable to them, once they know all your secrets and insecurities,
I love
then the
that.
devaluation, then the devaluation stage comes and then they use everything against you because they know how to bring you down to their level. And that's what they want to do.
And
And
it's
so,
in the little things. Sometimes it can be incredibly subtle. Like, for example, you might have gotten all dressed up to go out. You go to your husband and say, "How do I look?" He's scrolling on his phone. He doesn't look up right away because you're not important enough for him to put his phone down. When he looks up, he's like, "You look fine," right? Because he can't say, "You look amazing. You look fantastic. I'm going to be the luckiest man in the room." You can't say that. So this is what I see is sort of just this subtle chipping away of a woman's sense of value.
Yes, and
And it doesn't,
that's
I mean,
where
I just gave a personal image, you know, example, but of course, there's so many ways that a man could do this, you know, to devalue a woman.
And so what happens with that in the moment, you just see, oh, maybe he's having a bad day, or maybe he's, again, we're justifying the behavior. And it's not until you actually take a step outside of your marriage and look and have an honest look at it and see it in the totality that, oh, no, this is emotional abuse. This is psychological abuse. All the gaslighting. And so, and gaslighting is when they try to change your perception of reality. And so, you might have had an argument, and the next morning you bring it up. Hey, this is how you made me feel. And then they'll say stuff like, but you're too sensitive. You're oversensitive. You're taking it personally. That's not what I said. That's not what I meant. So it's not really an apology.
It's not right. I'm sorry, but this is really your fault. You're the
Exactly.
sensitive one. You're misinterpreting what I'm doing.
And so the gaslighting along with all this intermittent reinforcement of the good, the bad, the good, the bad, keeps you've stuck and keeps you in this what this trauma bond is what it is. And a trauma bond, and that's also what makes these relationships so much harder to get out of, and why a breakup or a discard is not the same as a healthy relationship breakup. It's because of the trauma bond. And so you really have to do the hard work of breaking that trauma bond. And that means you have to do the internal work, the rewiring of the brain.
The reprogramming. There's so much that we could probably talk for hours, I think, on
I'm
all of
sure.
this. But I'd love, as we begin to wrap up, I'd love to, if you were going to give women one takeaway when it comes to raising their standards or their expectations, first for themselves, but then, of course, ultimately in their relationships for men, what would that one thing be?
I would say that you are worthy of so much more. So many people, I hear them throw the word deserving. Well, you deserve so much better. You deserve this. No, deserving means that you had to do something to get something in
Earned it,
return. Worthiness is innate. It is who you are. You are worthy. I am worthy just because I am me. And you are so worthy of so much more. And once you start loving yourself and taking care of yourself and putting yourself first, you will understand the worthiness. And I think so many of us who find ourselves in these toxic relationships, we know how to love because we think we can love them to death, that they will change. So switch that love around to yourself. Love yourself. Pour into yourself the way you were pouring into that person.
Was your relationship with God important for you in getting that sense of worth back and a
Oh
sense?
yeah. I've always grown up with being spiritual and with a relationship with God. And for me, it was really just knowing that I'm worthy of so much more. And all of this came when I was able to let go of the victim mindset and really become the star, because until you see the lessons, and once I was able to see the lessons, then I knew what to heal and what to tap into, and just tapping into that, like I'm better. I'm worth so much more than guys who cheat all the time and guys who don't
But
value
it
and
can
respect
so
me.
much more for us as women than sometimes we allow into our lives. Stephanie, if I was going to send our listeners to you, where's the best place for them to find you?
Yeah, so right now I'm still working on my website. It's not finished yet. Otherwise, I would give everyone an email address. But I
Sure.
am on LinkedIn and I'm on Facebook, and I will give you those links. On LinkedIn and Facebook right now.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll put those in the write-up for the description. And then I know that you have collaborated on a book and you have a chapter in a book that's coming out. Can you talk just a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I was asked to write a chapter on leadership, and for myself, I wrote it on leadership and women empowerment. What does it take to, what are attributes of effective leadership for women like us who have been through these things, and how can we use our experiences, going from a victim to a survivor to the post-secondary trauma, which would be we're advocates now. And so I just kind of
Yeah. Paying it
wrote about
forward.
that.
Paying
Paying
it
it
forward.
forward. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
I love, well, it, you, I mean, you go from the, to me, the way you go from victim mentality to survivor to, absolutely thriving is to take what you've gone through and use it to better other people's lives. That is
Yes.
a journey of healing is, to me, the reason why I believe God allows any of us to suffer and go through difficult things is because we learn so much about ourselves and about life that is meant to be then shared for the benefit of other people. And that's
Absolutely.
a huge reason why there is struggle in this human existence. Stephanie Ann, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you being willing to come on the podcast and share your personal journey. And do you actually do EFT with clients? Like if they reach out to you, can they identify with clients of yours?
I do. I've taken a little break. My first husband actually passed away 2 months ago, and
Oh.
I have three little kids, and so
Yeah.
I taught them EFT, and we do EFT together, but I
Cool.
am just saving that space for them right now as they are
Sure. Yeah.
working through their father's
Amazing.
death. But eventually I will be back up again
Okay.
taking clients and
Okay.
stuff.
We'll make sure that people know how to find you for when you go back into that professional space. Thank you again for joining me today, Stephanie. Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much, Deb.
For more episodes, just go to debbiecaudle.com. And while you're there, get your free copy of my guide, 10-step relationship rescue roadmap.